When I read the things they carried 20 years ago, personally for me it was very liberating because of the seeming blend of fact and fiction, and that includes, of course, the main character being named Tim O'Brien. How did that come about? What went into the making of that kind of bold decision? You know, you had worked as a journalist.
I have.
You had published a nonfiction book, mm-hmm. and then also another novel, mm-hmm. several novels before this. Mm-hmm. But this was a leap forward from your previous books, even one that won the National Book Award. Mm-hmm. This was quite an astounding thing to see.
Well, I'm still proud very much of Cacciato, Going After Cacciato, which was a book written early on in my career. And in a way, I'm saddened that it's been eclipsed by the things they carried, because I think it's an equally beautiful book. At the same time, when I began The Things They Carried, I had sat, as I think many artists of, you know, sculptors or painters or musicians, I had set a challenge for myself, a set of rules, and the challenge was a pretty simple one. I wanted to write a novel, a work of fiction, that would feel to the reader as if it had actually occurred. It would have the feel of a memoir, of a testament to things literal and things real. And that involved using my own name, and it involved dedicating the book to the characters within the book, and to a feel of I'm maybe reading not a novel, but a work of nonfiction that contains elements of the bizarre and even the impossible, but is being treated as if it had actually occurred. And the technical challenge that one sets for oneself, it sounds probably to people who aren't interested in writing, may sound boring, and it has very exciting and door-opening consequences. It made me feel almost giddy as a writer. I'm pretending something had happened, and it hadn't. And yet I'm pretending in such a way as I'm exploring a realm of something new to me. What could have happened, and what should have happened, and what almost happened, but didn't quite. And that's the realm of fiction. It's what separates fiction from nonfiction in the end. It's an exploration not of the literal, what occurred, but of what could have occurred. My father died recently. I could have taken him in my arms and said, "Dad, I love you," but I didn't. And in a story, I can have my character say, "Dad, I love you," and observe the consequences, fictional, imagined consequences. And that is, you can't do that in nonfiction. You can't have yourself without lying utter what was not uttered in the real world.
The impression, though, that the reader gets is that, although we won't go through each particular scene and say, well, is this true? Is this true? Did this really happen? But it has the feeling that everything that's being written is grounded somehow in the truth.
I think that's true of most novels. I draw attention to it in The Things They Carried. I take the reader's eye to that process. But I think Huckleberry Finn is grounded in the river, and Hannibal, and Mark Twain's knowledge of that part of the world, and of not just the geography, but of the social stuff around it, the constraints of a small town and of slavery and all everything that surrounded it. So although the events of Huck Finn are probably more or less invented, it's still grounded, as probably any book is, in some, it bounces off or comes out of both the world we all live in. That's true of imagination in general, I think, that it's all rooted finally in this world we live in and inhabit. But we don't have to always write literally about that world. We can write imaginatively about it as well.